backwards. We're going backwards to Simin Tof Kof Pei Gimel. Okay, here we describe the Seder of the Su'uda. Okay, Mash Noyagim Lecha Bolel Rosh Hashanah V'dinim Shachach V'lehizki Yal V'yavai B'zbirchus HaMazayim V'Seder HaShena Sashmish V'lel Rosh Hashanah V'haroya Shoyfe B'chalayim. Okay, different in Yonim. Some things I skipped and some things I did not skip. Let's see. Achar HaTzfilah, after we come back from davening, the night of Yom Tov. So this year it's going to be Sunday night. When we arrive home Sunday night, Niftarim libatehem l'shalayim umavarchim habanim sheyisku likasevu likasem l'chayim tovim. Okay, so we wish our. Notice over here that it says here that yimavarich the banim. It does not say that you wish one another. Interesting. If you want to be medayik in the words of the Matei Ephraim, he says the ikar bracha is to give to your children, not necessarily to give to every person in the Beis HaKnesses.
So the wife doesn't get anything?
The wife is... Bonim, interesting, doesn't say about the wife. Interesting, I don't know. Now notice it says, Lehi Chasev Ulehei Chasev. Now that's our nusach. We say, L'shona Tovet Hikasev V'sei Chasev Li'alter L'chayim Tovim U'L'Shalom. Some say even B'sifra Shel Tzadikim Gemurim. This nusach that we say is not so simple. This is a topic in and of itself. If you should say ulehei chaseim, that it should be sealed, because according to the Gemara seems to say that the chasima is not concluded until Yom Kippur. Okay, tzadikim gemurim. What? Okay, so it's a whole question of where the nusach comes from. But whatever it is, he says that you do say li chaseif ulehei chaseim lechayim toivim. Notice it does not say aruchim. Notice he doesn't say la'alter. He doesn't say besifroi shel tzadikim gemurim. He has a very simple nusach, and it only mentions this should be done to your children. Ve'im chol b'shabbos ayimrim shalom aleichem atzeischem l'shalom. So again, this here b'di'imu v'simchas aleif achloi b'shiru v'zimro k'shoyim osashana. Very unique that if it would fall out on Shabbos, you do not say it. You do not sing. You're not supposed to sing shalom aleichem if Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos. That's very interesting. No singing Friday night if it falls out. Now this itself is a very interesting. You say shalom. You don't say shalom aleichem on Yom Tov night. On Shabbos, if Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, which does not this year, then he says that you say the shalom aleichem, but you do not sing the shalom aleichem. Now this really touches upon a very interesting idea of davening. Bechlal, do you sing nigunim during? Do you sing nigunim? And he talks about this over here at the bottom in the Elef HaMateh. Elf HaMogin in the bottom of the footnotes of the Matei Ephraim. Is it the proper thing to sing Nigunim in the Tefillah of the Yomim Noiroim? Now, of course, there are certain traditional Nigunim. The traditional Nigunim, in fact, is a term called the Nigune Sinai. Did anyone hear of this term? There's something called Nigune Sinai. The Nigunim that come from Har Sinai. And I don't know if it means literally that they come from Har Sinai, but it means there's certain nigunim of the Yomim Noirim that are sacred that you don't dare tamper with. Okay, the nigun for Avos, and the nigun for, I guess, for Aleinu, Kol Nidre. There are certain nigunim that you do not, they're called Nigunei Sinai. It's as if they've been given to us from Har Sinai. Then there are other, besides those nigunim, then there are other things. Is it proper to go and embellish the davening with singing v'chol ma'aminim, to sing the various piyutim? So in the yeshivas, it used to be, not anymore, but the Litvish Olam, it used to be, there's no such thing. You do not sing nigunim. Yomim Noiroim is not a zman to sing nigun. Chasidim, just the opposite, they would embellish the nusach atul, as many nigunim as you possibly can. And this touches upon a fundamental difference, and you see it coming out over here in this Matei Ephraim, in how do you approach the nusach of the Yomim Noiroim. I remember once I asked the person, I davened in a certain place, and I asked the person who's familiar with the place that I davened, and he also davened in another place, different years, and I asked him to describe to me the difference between the two different davenings. So he said to me something very insightful. He said, this yeshiva, the davening is begeder yira. And in this yeshiva, the davening is in the category of ahava. It's a davening of love. And in this makom, it's a davening of yira. And it's so true. I really thought about it, is that this place, the whole davening is to sing, is to sing, and to a certain warmkeit. You have to be very, very warm. And the other places, traditionally, among the Litvisha crowd, it's not a time to sing. There are Nigune Sinai, there are certain things, Aleinu, there is Avos, there's the Nusach. But besides that, you don't embellish the davening with Nigun, because it takes away from the Emas Hadin. It is the Yoim Hadin, a time of Sifrei Chaim, V'Sifrei Nesim, Psuchim. It's not a time to have a concert. And being that the Mate Ephraim was a Litvisha, you see, he expresses this idea even as something that's so simple as singing Shalom Aleichem. On the night of Rosh Hashanah, on the Sifrei Chaim and Sifrei Meisim HaPsuchim, you can't bring yourself to sing Shalom Aleichem. You say Shalom Aleichem, you'll recite it, but it should not be actually said. Today, obviously, this is not something which is very popular. Today, we live in the melting pot where everyone does a little bit of each. Today, everyone is much more open to a little bit of simcha. But it's interesting to at least know where you're coming from, to see these nuances in the Mate Ephraim, where he goes so far to bring out the Emes Hadin, not to sing the Shalom Aleichem. To say it, b'ni'imo u'b'simcha saleif, ach loy b'shira v'zimra, k'shar yumoy sashana. Why? Ki hu yoim she sifrei chayim niftachim b'sifrei meisim suchim, the books of life and death are open. It's not a time to get into a merry mood. V'tzorech lihios yorei v'choreid me'emas hadin. Gam in loymar piyut azamein b'shvachin. This piyut is not to be said if Rosh Hashanah falls on a Friday night. V'yomer kiddush al yayin. Now we get back to what we do. We say kiddush al yayin v'nuschosoy k'mosh nispar le'el b'kiddush point. Bekiddush Beis HaKnesses is exactly the same nusach that we say in the Beis HaKnesses. Ve'im chal b'Shabbos yom etchilu v'yichulu, k'derech kol yom tov shechal b'Shabbos yom when you say shachyanu, like we learned yesterday. V'achar kach yitul yodav l'suda, right after you say shachyanu, you immediately wash your hands for the suda. V'lo yavse klal b'netilas yodayim l'kiddush, there should not be any break, like that's the halacha the whole year round. You're not allowed to be mafsik between kiddush and netilas yodayim. Remember, we're dealing here the first night of Rosh Hashanah, so there is no issue of making a shachyanu. We discussed yesterday at length the second night of Rosh Hashanah. I mentioned I would get back to you, and indeed Rav Nechemya, he had to go out, but Rav Nechemya showed me from the Dirshu Mishnah Berurah, he discusses this, the Mishnah Berurah is silent, the Mishnah Berurah does not tell you when you should make the Shechianu. In the Dirshu, he cites both opinions, he cites from Shlomo Zalman Arbach, he cites from other Gedolei Yisrael, and basically it's a draw that the second night of Rosh Hashanah, you can do whatever you want. There are grounds in halacha to make the bircha shechianu, to eat the new fruit, to make a borei pri ho'etz on the new fruit immediately after you finish kiddush. Right after you say the shechianu, you should not be mafsik between the shechianu and the eating of the new fruit. Many gedolei Yisrael follow that approach, and then there are many gedolei Yisrael say no. It's not a hefsek. You can wash netilas yodayim. You eat the hamotzi lechem min haaretz, and then you make a boirei pri ho'etz on the new exotic fruit, which will fulfill your shechianu. And it's not considered to be a hefsek. And in fact, some hold that's a better solution, because you're not getting yourself involved in the halachic dilemma of making a boirei nefashos after you eat the fruit. If you eat the fruit before you recite hamotzi lechem min haaretz, then there's a question, do you need to make a borei nefashos before you wash? You wash. Halacha l'maisa, we don't. It doesn't really make a difference. So anyway, we're not going to do it. But there is a dilemma, according to some apoiskim. So this is like really a typical example. There's no perfect solution. Either you have a shayla of a hefsek between the shehechianu and the eating of the new fruit, or you have a shayla of of making a brocha acharoina after you eat the exotic food. So there is no perfect solution. So you can do whatever you feel comfortable doing. That is how the Dirshu Mishneh Berurah presents it, by looking at the common minug in our day and age.
Like,
yeah.
When you do a shahiyano on Kiddush, right?
Yes.
And then you have mezim, you have in mind that you're going to do it for
the new fruit.
But the new fruit deserves shahiyano by itself.
No, that's exactly the reason why you have the new fruit. That is exactly why you have a new fruit, that the shahiyano you make on the second night for Kiddush is a shaila, a bracha levatola. Being that the second night of Rosh Hashanah is a Yoyma Arichta, it's a continuation of the first day of Rosh Hashanah. So in truth, there's no need, there's no requirement to recite the Birch HaShechianu. So the Birch HaShechianu that you're reciting borders on a Bracha Levatala. In order that it should not be a Bracha Levatala, we eat a new fruit that has not been eaten this year. So just in case it would be a Bracha Levatala with regard to the Kedusha of the Yom, it should be covered by the new fruit that we are eating. So you only make one Shechianu. It defeats the purpose of making. If you make another Shechianu, you've defeated the purpose of having the new fruits. You only make one Shechianu the second night on Kiddush, and then you have a choice. You can either eat the new.
No one says you shouldn't make it on the Kiddush. You shouldn't make the
Shechianu
Kiddush.
No, definitely not. No, the Shechianu, according to all opinions, is said upon reciting Kiddush. Reciting Kiddush. And then you have a choice. You can either immediately make a Boire Pri Ha'etz and eat the new fruit, or you can wait until after you wash and recite Hamoitzi, and then bring out the new fruit and make a borei prit. It's not a hefsek. Noshim have a greater hefsek, because Noshim, they light candles the second night, and they make a shechianu, and that's also the same exact dilemma. It might be a bracha levatala. They also need the new fruit. So that's why Noshim should delay lighting the candles close to Kiddush. Noshim should not light the candles as early as possible. They should wait until their husbands come home, and then they light the candles right before the writing of Kiddush, so that the Shechianu also should be as close as possible to the eating of a new fruit. I believe so. Or the other solution is an Isha should have a new garment. We know that we what.
Get your wife a new diamond ring.
So either if we have a new garment, so the Shechianu or the new garment can be made earlier. And then there's another Shiloh that if a woman, there's a Shiloh that being that the woman already made a Shechianu, so if she will answer Amen, this is an old Shiloh, if she will answer Amen to the Shechianu of her husband and then wants to be toyim from the Yayin Shel Kiddush, it's a Hefsek. Because she already has set her own Shechianu when she lit candles. So she does not need the Shechianu that her husband is reciting for Kiddush. So when she's going to answer Amen to the Bracha Shechianu of her husband, it's a hefsek between the Boire Pri Hagafen and the Te'ima, the drinking of the Yayin. Halacha l'maisa, we're not makbid upon that. We do not consider that to be a hefsek, but it is something that is discussed. Many, as Rabbi Mesky says, the ideal thing would be that the woman should not recite a Shechianu when she lights candles, and she should rely upon the Shechianu that her husband will recite when he makes Kiddush. However, that is not the accepted custom. That is something which appears to be correct, yet Minig Avoseinu is that the Isha makes her own Shechianu.
This is my own just feeling, because if they say the halacha is that they're not supposed to make it when they light candles, so why is it that everybody does? Because I think there were so many almanas at a certain point in time that they made it when they lit candles, but they weren't making Kiddush.
No, but they argue, why aren't they making Kiddush? The almanas should make Kiddush also.
Yeah, so a lot of women had a lot of Hasidish women have it, but
they don't make Kiddush. Okay, let's go further. Okay, yeah.
Robert Pearl once said that if you have money,
only for the fruit,
yes,
then you have a lot of problems with you're not yotze kiddush.
Right, of course. So you have to have, when you make the shechiyanu on kiddush, the ikur shechiyanu is for kiddush. We hold, when everything is said and done, it's two separate days of kiddusha. It's not a bracha levatola. We learned yesterday that in the event that you do not have an exotic fruit, you still make the shechiyanu on the second night of Rosh Hashanah. It's not because me'ikar hadin, it's two separate kiddushas. It's a hidur to have a new fruit in order to cover yourself just in case. But again, you have a choice. You have a choice as to when you're going to make the bari priho eitz for the new fruit, either immediately following the shechiyanu, or you can wait until after you wash and then you make the bari priho eitz. Even after you wash, don't forget, you still need to make a bari priho eitz. Just because you washed for hamoitzi, that does not cover the fruit, because the fruit is something which is not part of your meal. You typically do not bring to the meal fruit in the beginning of the meal. You may bring an appetizer, even an appetizer, certain types of appetizers, you should know, are not so silly. You may indeed, according to some opinions, also have to wash. I have to make your own bracha. So that's another shaila, but certainly not the new fruit. Okay, let's go further. Okay, v'imchal, okay, we said v'chulu shachyanu, okay, v'nitlu v'yivtsa l'shteki, okay, v'yivtsa, v'yakach yitol yodav l'suda v'lo yavse klal b'nitilas yidayim l'kiddush, you should not be mad between the tiltam l'kiddush, v'yivtsa al shteki karois, and you should break bread upon two loaves of bread. There's a unique halacha that on Rosh Hashanah you're supposed to have, there's a minute to have round bread, not braided, should be different type. Why? Because round, I guess, is symbolic of an infinity.
There's no end.
Is that everything that we do on the night of Rosh Hashanah is Simani Milsa. We'll discuss a little bit later on. Is Simani Milsa. Galgala. You want there to be renewal. Renewal is symbolized in things that are round. The Oimer. Okay, then Shteki Karos. This Lecha Mishnah. That's Pashat. On Yom Tov, like there is on Shabbos. The Yivtsa Al Hol Yoina. So here is another halacha that on the end of Yom Tov you break bread on the top. On regular Shabbos, we all know the difference that Shabbos, on Friday night, which loaf of bread do you break? Do you cut? The bottom. Shabbos day, the top. Shabbos day, side by side. Okay, I don't know. I heard that on Shabbos,
side, not the
top.
And you cut the right
one. Shalashudis
is the top.
Top, Shalashudis is the top. Shabbos day is side by side. Shabbos night is the bottom. That's not true with regard to Yom Tov. Yom Tov, at night, you break the top loaf of bread. So here he has a chiddush that you dip the bread in honey. You dip. Now this is something which is a very big mystery, because it appears that dvash was not meant, we're going to discuss a little bit later on, the third part, dvash was never meant to be eaten together with the bread. The dvash was meant to be eaten either together with the tapuach or to be eaten alone. Just to have a little treat of honey alone without anything else, and to make a, in fact, to make a bracha. This, that it evolved, that the bread is also to be mixed with honey, appears to be a much more modern innovation. Here on the note,
What about salt on the table?
So salt, there are different minhagim. Some have the custom, it's not a contradiction, you can dip the bread in salt as well. You dip the bread in salt and you mix it with honey, you add a little honey. It's not a contradiction. Yes, salt you definitely keep on the table. The question is, do you also dip the bread in salt? The proper way, on a proper technique on Friday night, is to have a little dish for salt. You pour some salt and you dip the challah in salt three times. Al pi kabbalah, three times. You dip it in salt three times. The question is, do you dip it in salt on the night of Rosh Hashanah and during, let's say, the entire period of Sukkot? Because if you're dipping it in honey, honey is a different flavor than salt. So do we say that the honey replaces the salt? Or no, you have to have salt, for whatever reason. It's a Kabbalistic concept to have salt, and that does not go away just because you're dipping it. Tag of Melach. It's Kabbalah to this. So therefore the question is, do we replace it? There are different customs. Yeah.
I heard a minute ago, someone said, you don't use salt Friday night.
Yeah.
I'll call
carbon Friday night. But you have it on the table. Yeah. You don't dip it. Some do not dip the bread in salt Friday night, but you should have the salt on the table. Having salt on the table is a different concept. These are Kabbalah and Yonim. Let's go further. It says here something very unique. It says that you're supposed to dip it in honey. Okay, he does not discuss the Makar. We'll talk about it a little bit later on. The third part, we're also going to talk about all the Simani Nilsa, so we'll talk about some of these things, whatever I remember. Let's say, B'dvash V'Eichel V'Yoymar, that after you dip, you say, Yiratzayim Shetischadesh Aleinu Shnas Toiva U'Mesuka. Now, we normally say this, we don't, like I told you, almost everything that says in the Matei Fram, we don't do. We don't say this when we dip the challah in honey, we say this when we eat the apple. When you dip the apple in the honey, we say that it should be a year that is a Shnas Toiva Musuka. It's very interesting to look that he says that this should be done when you dip the apple in, when you dip the bread in the honey. Now notice, when do you say this? You say this afterwards. This is a major topic of discussion. Okay, but what, you say, but now when are you saying this? You're saying the Nusach, the Yehi Ratzon, after you have...
Yeah.
After you have already eaten it, look at the words. The words v'noegim litpol prusa samotzi bedvash v'oichel. First, eat a little bit, so the bracha should be chal upon what you have eaten. Should not be bracha levatola. After you have swallowed, now for the first time you make a bakasha yiratzayin shetis chadesh aleinu shnas tayvu mesuka. We're going to see soon that some opinions hold that you're not accomplishing anything. The koyach of saying the Yehi Ratzon must be done before you do the simen. Whenever you engage in simonim, I'll give you an example. You make a lechayim, a yard site. The neshama is lechoven an aliyah. You make a lechayim. So do you first drink and then say, then do you say the lechayim, or you say the neshama is lechoven an aliyah? So, I mean, to us, what's the difference anyway, right? Yeah, what's the big deal? Okay, but to the people also, to the people that these things make a very big deal. So the truth is, there are three minhagim. There's one minhag that before you make the bracha, I'm really going in. I'm using up all my material for part three when I prepared for part three, but it's okay. That some hold that the ideal thing is you're supposed to say all of these things before you make a bracha. Before you make the bracha, you say the Yehi Ratzon. And others say no, you do it afterwards. And the third opinion is a shock to you, and this is how the Lubavitch, this is how I think the sixth Lubavitch Rebbe did it. Who's the Riatz? So the Lubavitch Rebbe has Torah. He talks about what his father-in-law did. The Riatz, he made the bracha, and after he made the bracha, before he ate, he said the Yehi Ratzon. So you would ask, it's a hefsek, how could you make a bracha? And before you actually, no, it's not a hefsek, it's all the tzorech, the achila, but it goes to show how serious the Yehi Ratzon. If the Yehi Ratzon was actually said in between the bracha and the eating, it goes to show that the Yehi Ratzon is a very serious matter, it's a chiluk of the bracha.
What? Is it before the part of the bracha?
Who made them up?
You're touching upon something very interesting. When it came at a later point in time, you're right. The Yiratzans came later. You say Hashem's name. You say Milafonecha. What exactly the nusach is? There are many different shilas. Now, what are the issues? Let's jump in. What are the issues? The issues are as follows. It's not their cheretz to give kavod to yourself, or to your friends, or to your family, before you give kavod to Hashem. The problem with saying the Yehi Ratzon before you make the bracha is you're giving kavod to Adam before you give kavod to Hashem. Who's the one that violated this principle and paid for it dearly? Malki Tzedek. Malki Tzedek Melech Shem Hotzi Lech V'Yayin V'Koyin L'Kel Elyayin Baruch Avram L'Kel Elyayin. So first Avram and then L'Kel Elyayin. What was the consequence? He lost the kahuna. It was meant that from Malki Tzedek should come kahuna to this world. Because he gave kavod to Adam before he gave kavod to Kadosh Baruch Hu, obviously you don't know what being a kohen is all about. So he lost the kahuna. If you're going to say, Yehi Ratzon in the middle of Fanecha, we should have a year of, we should have a sweet year. And after you finish blessing yourself and being mevakish Hashem to give you a sweet year, Hashem, you also should have a good year, Hashem. You also, Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, you also should have a good year, Hashem. Is that Derech Eretz? That's not Derech Eretz. So that's the problem doing it in this order. The problem doing it in the other order, and I don't understand what it's all about, is you do it in the other order, it's too late. We don't know how these things work, but when you do something for a simen, it has to be expressed in advance what the purpose of the simen is. If I'm going to make a bracha, I'm going to eat it, and now retroactively, oh, the reason why I just ate the apple, the reason why I ate the honey, the reason why I did all of these things was in order that it should be symbolic of what's going to be for me the next year. Too little, too late. It doesn't hurt. You can say whatever you want, but you're not capturing what you're trying to accomplish. The ideal thing would be what the Lubavitcher Rebbe, the Riatz, did. He did something right in the middle. He made the bracha, you're giving cover to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then you're expressing that what I'm about to do now is symbolic. You're like a Navi, like we learned in the Yirmiyah, when a Navi does a Maisa, you solidify your words. I'm making a bakasha, and I'm doing a maisa to make that it should be chal, it should not be subject to change. So then it's very good. That really is the ideal thing to do. The only problem with that is maybe this should be considered a hefsek. You're making a bracha. What do you have in Chazal, such a concept where you can make a bracha, and before you do what you're supposed to do, you go off and you start doing other things? So you'll say, well, it's not really a hefsek, you're doing it for a purpose, and a chanami. So that's the approach. But no matter how you look at it, A, B, and C, you got a problem. Mahalach A, you're giving cover to Adam before you're giving cover to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mahalach B is, it's too little, too late. And Mahalach C is, does this constitute a hefsek between the bracha and the maisa? What do people do? People do whatever they do. Everyone does this, the makaris, everything. I think even the Lubavitcher Rebbe himself didn't do it. From what I've read, and I think I've read, is Lubavitcher Rebbe himself did not do it. He did, I don't know what he did before or after, I don't know what he did, but he did not do what his father-in-law did, which is the Chiddush. How could a chassid not follow in the ways? I'm not sure about all this. You have to look up and see exactly. But it's definitely, these are the three mahalchim, and Mishneh Berurah silent on these, and these in Yonim, you do whatever you're comfortable, whatever your tradition. Most people don't remember from the previous year what they did, like myself. So you do whatever you are comfortable doing at the time, and you have.
And the Ilchus for the Haggadah, that's what Shlomo Zalman Auerbach makes a whole point of the Seichel Migdash Kilel. He brings down
before and after. Very good.
He said it wasn't meant to be said. It's just telling you why you're doing this. It's Zechel Migdash Kehillah. Don't say it. It's instructions.
Instructions, okay.
That's why you're saying
it. But that's by Zechel Migdash Kehillah. Yeah,
he's saying it's not because you're not supposed to be mafsik till after you eat everything.
Oh, it's a hefsek.
So who said you're supposed to say Zechel Migdash Kehillah? It was meant to be in parentheses.
And when does the Olam say it?
What you're about to do, this is the reason.
And when does the Olam say it? But the Olam says it before. When do you say Marar? When do you say Mar? Before. Well, before. So you see there are some, but there, the,
what? To do it before.
Yeah. When you make a bracha on Mar, you don't know before. When it comes to Mar, you make the bracha, and then you eat it.
Right.
And then you say it. Do you say it before you eat it?
What
I guess it's different in Hagim.
Well,
you don't say it's part of the Haggadah. I'm sorry. It's part of the Haggadah. It's part of the Haggadah. I'm confused. Part of the Haggadah. Maror zu Pesach matzah mar kol mishloyam ashloisha. But you say it in advance. Think about it. You do. It's part of the Haggadah. That's not a riot because that's part of the mitzvah of Yigat Levincha. It's a little bit different. Let's go further. Okay, let's go. V'noyagim litbol pruzas hamoytzi b'dvash v'yecholim v'miyirat zin shetzolim shoshon v'mesukah. V'im lekech chalos dvash mikaveres yesh l'rasek v'yom v'yoshon. If a person takes honeycombs, you're supposed to l'rasek, you have to, there's a shayla of doing malacha. To remove the honey from the honeycombs can be a shayla of malacha, shein etzricha. You have to separate the honey from the honeycombs v'yom v'yoshon, v'chdesh lo yitzorech l'rasek v'yom tov, v'kol shekein imchal b'shabes. Then it would be aser for sure. The aser lechol v'litam koydim, fine. Now, by the way, there is such a minig. I have no idea what this is all about. I have no clue to throw it out. Is that some say that you bedavka should use honey? People do. I think people do this. They sell this thing today. Honey from honeycombs and include the wax. That on Rosh Hashanah, I don't know what the reason that in the honey, the simen that you're going to use for Rosh Hashanah should include the wax. that's taken out of the honeycomb. I don't know how a honeycomb has some wax inside of it, it seems. You have to slice away with the honey some wax. That is the only true fulfillment of the siman. Look out in the stores if they sell such things. I think I once saw in a store the wax. They sell it special for Rosh Hashanah because there are people that have such a tradition. And there is a reason for this.
The problem, you have to take out the pieces of
it. You have to be careful. I don't know. I don't know how this works. The also lechal litam kodim kiddush. Okay, this is not unique to Rosh Hashanah. This is pashut. You have to. You're not allowed to eat before you make kiddush. The ein kiddush shel b'makom suda. These are halachas are not unique to Rosh Hashanah. These apply the entire year round. Kimoyish b'chol shor yom tov. Ustudas ha Rosh Hashanah yesh b'din kol sudas yom tov. Has a din of suda v'ri yom tov. V'chol mashe mekilim b'shor yom tov. Mishum simchas yom tov. Yesh l'hakel gam b'Rosh Hashanah. Any halacha that you, that any halacha that you're making, meaning halacha of preparation. Any halacha of what does the aleph here go to? I don't know what the aleph here is referring to. It just says, look in the Shagas Aryeh. Anything that you make, anything that you make with, all the halachas of Yom Tov apply to the laws of Rosh Hashanah. Then lahavsik bein habracha b'chas amosik la'achila b'miras hirotzayin. He's just repeating what he said before. Before he didn't explicitly say, he just said first you eat, then you dip, eat the bread. Ela betchila yesh lelechol aprus savyachakach yemay yirotzen v'chinaygim lechol b'sulazuk tapuach masik b'dvash. The first night of Rosh Hashanah, the custom is Ashkenaz to dip the apple in the honey. Tapuach that is sweetened b'dvash. V'oymrim yirotzen zeh, you say the same exact yirotzen v'tzach l'varech ala tapuach. Boirei pri ho'etz. Don't forget to make a bracha. And everyone agrees, not everyone, but ruba de ruba, that the apple is to be eaten after you wash. Not like we mentioned with the Shechianu, which it's 50-50, but the apple that you eat the first night of Rosh Hashanah, some eat it all night, some eat it the second night as well, but certainly the first night, according to vast majority of the poskim, the apple is to be eaten and the bracha is to be made after the birchas hamoitzi. Not because there's no reason why you should do it before. Now, by the way, I want to point out there is a minority opinion. I don't know why. Rabbi Nechem, you showed this to me yesterday, that says that indeed the apple, you also eat the apple before you recite hamoitzi, but that's not common. Av sheichel oisa b'sech asuda, you have to make a bari po eitz because it's not part of the meal, therefore it requires its own special boirei pri ho eitz. Do you make a bracha on the honey? Do you make a shahakal on the honey? It's not so simple. Do you make a shahakal on the honey? Honey is also not being brought, but it's not also part of the meal. So that's a very big shaila. Halacha l'maisa, the honey, the apple must be dipped. You have to make it clear that the honey is a tofel to the apple. If you don't make it clear that it's a tofel, it can very well be that you are required to make a separate shahakal on the honey. If I'm not mistaken, no, it's not davar b'machmas asuda. Honey is something that you would not normally eat on its own. You don't eat honey. According to some opinions, it used to be the custom that you eat honey by itself, that you should have a sweet year. Just take honey and lick and suck honey. Honey candies. Just have honey. That's it. Not par, not with an apple. If that's what you do, you are required to make a bircha shahakal. We typically do not do that. We dip the apple in the honey. The question, though, is, so what? You're dipping the apple in the honey. The honey is being brought because you want to have a sweet year. It becomes an ikar. You should make a shahakal. So it's not so simple. So therefore, you have to make it clear that the honey is a tofel and the apple is the ikar. It could be, that's what I explained before, that's how it came about, the minhag, this very strange minhag, why we dip the bread in the honey as well. There is no mikar to dip the bread in the honey. Dipping the bread in the honey somehow evolved. Some say it's a mistake. Why are you dipping the bread in the honey? It doesn't say this anywhere. You'd eat during the meal various things that just have a sweet year, a different simonim. The bread is not part of the simonim. The bread is the bread. You make hamoitzi, and that's it. If anything you want to do to the bread, you dip the bread in salt, like it says in Shulchan Aruch. Where does it come? All of a sudden, Rosh Hashanah, you're changing halach. So some want to suggest that because this became a very big halachic dilemma, should you make a separate bracha on the honey, on bari pro eitz and the shahakol, we're going to dip the bread in the honey at the very beginning of the meal to make it clear, without a shadow of a doubt, that the honey is a tofel. It's not an ikur. So now, when we proceed to dip the apple in the honey, we've already shown that the honey is only here as a dip. It's not an ikur and does not require its own separate bracha. It's done as...
Why not the same logic with the apple?
Because it's there, it's not clear. It's not clear. Just because you're dipping the apple in the honey, being that you're saying it should be a shana mesuka, I make an apple, and you should make a bracha on the honey as well. If you're making a yehi ratzayin milufanecha Hashem Elokeinu shetehe ashan azo shnas ashana mesuka, sweet year. L'chora the ikar is the sweetness,
and the apple's also
sweet. No, the apple's not sweet. It's not easy to eat honey alone. Okay, you don't see people running around and eating honey as a dish. They don't serve honey as a dish in the supermarket. They don't. How do you eat honey? The way I'm going to eat honey is I'll eat it with something else. Like you have a very strong piece of fish. You have some herring. It's too strong to digest the herring. So I'll dip the herring. I'll eat it with a piece of bread. Do you make a bracha on the bread? No. If the only reason why you're eating bread is in order to soften the intensity, the sharpness of the herring, you don't make a bracha on the bread. So the ikar, if you would not know otherwise, is the honey. Isn't that what the Yehiratzon says? It should be a sweet year. It doesn't say anything in the Yehiratzon about apples. And in fact, I'll show you later on, the apples, Adarab, is something which is not a good thing, according to some opinions. So the ikar is the honey. It's the apple is just there as a way, as a method of being able to digest the honey. So the honey becomes the ikar. So you should make a shahakal and not make a bori pri ha'eitz. However, but most people, it gets very complicated. What really is ikar? What is a tafel? So as a peshara, as a way to make it clear, the apple is the ikar. The honey is a tafel. And to show that it's a tafel, we're going to dip the challah in the honey at the very beginning of the meal to make it clear from the get-go, honey is a tofel. So when I come down to the apple, I should not need to make a special boir shakol nia bidvaro on the honey. Okay, now you say the hiratzayin. Omer boir pri eitz ve'afshechel esosub sechasuta ve'hayiratzayin omer achar achila. You make the hiratzayin after the he says after the achila v'diyevedim amru kodem achila in a hefsek. He points out the meaning of the riatz. That if you make you make it before a bori pri ha'eitz, and then you say the yehi ratzon before you actually eat it, it's okay. It's not a violation of halach. V'noyagim lechol basar shamein v'chom in the masikah. There's a meaning to eat on Rosh Hashanah meat, because it's a yom tov, and a yom tov yechayiv in a simcha. Now this itself is a major topic of discussion, which I don't know anything about, but is there a chiv of simcha on Rosh Hashanah? On the one hand, we don't say halal. The fact that we do not say halal, Chazal says, because Sifrei Chaim, the Sifrei Meisim, Psuchim, the book of life and death is open, you're going to say halal. You can't say halal, you can't be besimcha. Yet, it is still called the Yom Tov, where you're chayiv to eat basar. Shabbos, you're not chayiv to eat basar on Shabbos. There's no chayiv to eat basar on Shabbos. But in Yom Tov, there is a chayiv. And then he writes here, the minig is eat basar, shamein, the whole meaning, mesiko, that a person should be in the spirit of Yom Tov. Halacha beis. Yadam ragil echol b'Rosh Hashanah. Now here we have all the simanim. A rubia. What is rubia? Rubia, the hainul tilton is what?
Black eyed peas.
Okay. Karati is leek. Silk is beets, tamar are dates, kora is melon. Uchshayoychal rubia, when you eat the rubia is the tilton, or the peas, the black peas. Yoymar hirotzim ulfenecha shemulchinim v'chavosenu sheyirbu zichu yoysenu, may our merits increase. Period. carrots. So therefore, they, that's what it says over here. Carroty. When you eat the carroty, what do you say?
What is rubia?
Rubio, he says, is peas, black peas, yeah, tilton.
Like peas.
Beans. Black beans.
That's what my grandma had. Peas? It's peas, it's a white bean.
Yeah.
Black out of it.
Okay, whatever it is. When you read these things, carity. What is carity? Yukarsu soinenu. May our enemies be cut off. Silka. What is silka? Yistalku soinenu. May our enemies be removed from us. Tamra. Yitamu soinenu. Kara. Yukara gzardin. Notice, a lot of these things is to be speared from our enemies. Okay, notice we're very into the enemies on Rosh Hashanah. These are some of Yikaru Yikara Gzar Dinayim of Yikaru Lufnechel Zuchu Yosein V'chein Yesham. Some say Rimonim Oichlim Rimon pomegranates from. They say Yiratzon Shenarben Zuchu Yos Rimonim. We should have many merits like Rimonim, like pomegranates. Supposedly there are 613 seeds in the pomegranate. Is that really so? I don't know. You should eat with every Medina has different foods with different simonim. He's saying here a mouthful of here and what the purpose of the simonim is. He's saying the purpose of the simon is this is a very big chish what he says, and this is what I want to talk about later on, is that it's not just you do things, oh, it's a good sign. The purpose of the simon is a tool, a visual tool, to awaken a person to be mispalel properly the next day. Many of us, like including myself, you just say, oh, you know, it's a good simon. You eat a certain food, so just like this, it's called this, it's going to be a good simon. No. Because if it's just a good simon, it all comes to an end. You're finished what you've set out to do when you finish eating and saying the Yehirat sign. According to the Matei Ephraim, the purpose of the simon is just the beginning. It's just an object which is supposed to arouse you to think about something, and that thought should stay with you throughout the entire day. You eat a karti. Karti means my enemies should be cut off. Hold that thought. That thought should not expire when you finish eating the karate. Hold that thought throughout the next 2 days. And when you dive in the Shemona Esrei, and you talk about all of the Umos Olam, which are trying to cause us trouble, hold that thought. When you eat the Rubio, hold that thought. When you dive in the next day, think about things that you can possibly do throughout the next coming year where you will increase your simonim. Most of us do not look at the simonim in that fashion. It'll be too much of a burden for us to hold the thought of what the simonim are throughout the remainder of the day. We think it's just hocus pocus. You eat these things, it's a good simon, so somehow in Shemayim, ding, 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 everything works, and everything is going to work our way. That's not what the Matei Ephraim says the purpose of the simon is sheyizkar ha'adam v'yis oirer. He should be aroused. He should be aroused b'shuva kishimavakesh rachamim al davar zeh, when he will proceed to seek rachamim of what this thing is symbolic of. V'chol zeh yesh la'asas gam b'yom sheni, very big chiddush l'matei Ephraim. Many people do not do this. Do everything the same exact thing, a repeat performance on the second night of Rosh Hashanah. Why? Why the second night? Because the Gemara says, bereish shata. I'll call you the Gemara later on, that a person should do certain things in the beginning of the year. Bereish shata. The reish shata doesn't say, it has a connotation of a tekufa, a period of the beginning of the year. It doesn't mean literally the first night. It doesn't say the Leil Rishayin. Also, the Gemara says you should be rogil. You should be accustomed to doing these things. So that has a connotation. You should do it at least more than once. At least both nights. Some even do the simonim by the meals by during the day. It's for a total of four times.
So do you do it like you're dipping the honey until Shmini Atzeres?
Yeah. All the way until Shmini Atzeres.
Part of the same idea.
It is one thing he mentioned over here, which becomes a halachic problem. He mentioned over here that some of the custom to eat rimoinim. Okay, he said rimoinim. Did he say dates? Tamri also dates. The problem is, if you're going to have as part of your simonim, pomegranates, and dates, these two things are part of the shivas haminim. And there's halacha. Now, what else are you going to definitely have the first night of Rosh Hashanah? You're definitely going to have the first night of Rosh Hashanah an apple. Dip the apple in the honey. No one's going to do without an apple. Right? That's the aleph base. So, which one, and when are you going to do the simonim? After you wash, before you begin your appetizer. After you wash. So if you can have an apple, you can have a pomegranate, which one gets the bracha? The apple or the pomegranate? So most of us think the first thing you do, you start off with the apple. But no, if you have on the table at that point in time already the pomegranate, and you have all of the other simonim, you have to do the shivas haminim first. You have to first make the bari priho eitz on the date or the pomegranate, because they are from the shivas haminim, and only then go and do the apple, because the apple is not from the shivas haminim, and you can't make a bracha on the apple when you have on the table in front of you from the shivas haminim. So the solution is, don't bring out the others. So the solution would then be, do not bring out to the table the shivas haminim before. If you have a minig where you bedavka, the first thing you want to do is dip the apple in the honey, because that's what the grandchildren are singing to you from time immemorial. So you want to do that first. Do not bring to the table the shivas haminim until after you dip the apple in the honey. No, the Shachianu, that's the second day. That's the second day. But also the first night, there's no exotic fruit. The first night, you're going to do the apple. And you're also going to do all of the simonim. Everyone has a different custom of what their simonim are. Everyone has their own custom. If it is your custom to eat fruits for the simonim that include the shivas haminim, you have to be careful to follow the laws of brachos that the shivas haminim have kedima for the bari priyo eitz before the apple. So the solution is, so do it first. So you do the date or the pomegranate first, and you say the yehi ratzon. Typically, you do not dip the pomegranates in what?
You like apples more than pomegranates?
I think it doesn't matter. I think the halacha is that even if it's the shivas haminim, you still make a halacha l'mayis, so you make a bracha on the shivas haminim before you make a bracha on the apple.
Much to eat on the pomegranates.
The seeds are very good. They're not that sweet, the seeds. So you have to add some flavoring to the seeds. Okay, or do not bring to the table the shivas haminim first, the apple in the honey. The reason is because the apple in the honey appears to be universal. Dates and pomegranates appears to be some yes, some don't. Not everyone does these things. These are dependent on minhagim. Okay, next halacha. Let's just run through this just a little bit more, and then we'll stop. Take a little break. Adam ragil lechol b'Rosh Hashanah. Gimel halacha gimel. Oichlem rosh keves zeichel elo shal yitzchak. Eat the head of a lamb. Zeichel the elo shal yitzchak. Okay, they sell in some stores. That's not for the faint of heart. Not for the faint of heart either. Rosh keves. Not everyone is into this. Now, some have a custom. If you don't have a rosh keves, there is a question: should you replace the rosh keves with the rosh of another creature? How about the rosh of a fish or the rosh of a bird? So there are different minhagim in respect. If it's only a rosh keves. If the Indian is, you should be L'Rosh, V'loy L'Zanav, it doesn't make a difference which Rosh. But if the Ikar is that you should remind, we should be a Zecher for the Akedah, then there's no purpose in having anything other than a Keves, because Yid Avraham did not offer as a replacement for Yitzchak a bird, he offered an animal, a Keves. V'loy Maran, you should say, Niya L'Rosh, V'loy L'Zanav. He does say this. Even though you're not going to go get it in the keves. Some have a custom not to eat fish. It's precious. You have to show the night of Rosh Hashanah. Very interesting is you have to take a dish that you would ordinarily have because it's delicious, and you have to refrain from eating that dish to express precious musar, restraint. You have to exercise the minhag on the night of Rosh Hashanah to exercise restraint. And that will serve as a zuchus. Just as you restrain yourself, you engage in holding back, likewise, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will hold back and not bring upon person everything that he deserves. And therefore, it appears that in ancient times, fish was a very great delicacy. People look forward to having fish on Shabbos or Yom Tov, and by not having fish on Rosh Hashanah, you're torturing yourself. You're denying yourself a delicacy, and that is critical to get yourself in the proper frame of mind of Musar before Rosh Hashanah. Laharois emas hadin. There's a lot of Musar. Part of that, the beauty of learning the Mate Ephraim is it's jam-packed with Musar. It's very rare to find a halachic sefer which incorporates within it words of Musar. The Chayi Adam is very popular for that. Right? People, they have a shash, you learn Kitshul Chodor Chayi Adam, but someone's told me you should learn Chayi Adam, because Chayi Adam will give you the advantage of learning halach and Musar. If you learn just Kitshul Chodor, you're focusing only on halacha, not that the Rav Gantzvi was the biggest big Baal Musar, but in the Sefer was written just as a halachic Sefer. We learn Chayi Adam was written as a Sefer that incorporates halacha and Musar. You can't get a better example of Hasev that incorporates halacha and Musar than the Matei Ephraim for Rosh Hashanah, where you see it's injected with many examples. The Yesh Mishakasav Shein Lechel Dogim Gilafichim Sibir Mikra, some say Shani Fichim, because it says in the Pasuk Shakasav Dog. Dog means the Agis. The August, you don't want to have worries during the year. V'yesh darshan say dog losh and the August. Aval b'medina seni machzir machadogim, but he says that in his minig, it's not. That's not the custom. The custom is to have fish. It's no big deal. V'yesh remes adarab. Fish is a good simen because fish is they multiply. Peru or vu v'yidgu loroiv bekeref aretz to multiply. You should not cook the fish in chametz and vinegar. Don't eat in bitter. Do not eat nuts. The minig is not to eat nuts the night of Rosh Hashanah. Why not? Ego is the gematria chet plus one. It's not the gematria chet plus one. Okay, chet plus one. The aleph. You don't need the aleph. So. You don't need, other Paiskim say that's not the reason. The reason why you don't need nuts has nothing to do with gematria, has to do with it causes phlegm.
Chet itself is also
the gematria chet. Don't do averus, because chet is also the gematria chet. But the reason why you don't need nuts is because it causes, it's hard to digest. The stomach does not digest nuts well, and it can interfere with your davening the next morning. So don't eat foods which are going to. What? All nuts. There's a beautiful var from the Sar Shalom Shalbels. The Sar Shalom Shalbels says that on Rosh Hashanah.
Tomorrow
is your Yahrzeit. So what is the Sar Shalom Shalbels? It said that on Pesach, what does it say in Shulchan Aruch? It says that when you begin the Seder, you distribute nuts to the children. The Shulchan Aruch and Pesach, Lel Seder. The Lel of the Seder, Pesach, you distribute nuts to the children. On the night of Rosh Hashanah, it says in Shulchan Aruch, you should not eat nuts. So he says that they're the same nuts. Then, in other words, what he's basically saying is, on the night of Rosh Hashanah, you should have nuts. Put the nuts on the table. Make sure the kosher Pesach. Don't get them in the mix of chametz. And say, these nuts, we will not eat. We will not eat these nuts tonight. Because a nut is begamashia chel. We're not going to eat the nuts tonight. Put them aside. And you put them away, and when the meal is over, you put them away, and your kosher Pesach, make sure it's kosher Pesach. And then when it's Pesach, remember those nuts we did not eat the night of Rosh Hashanah? Where are they? Bring them out, and we distribute that. Let's distribute. What's the pshat? And the Sar Shalom Shalbel says, because on Rosh Hashanah is a Yom Hadin, it's a Yom of a Yira. And when a person does tshuva mi Yira, zidoy noisav, his chatoim are naso kishkogos. Chazal, so when you do tshuva mi Yira, all of the sins that are done b'mezid, your chatoim are like inadvertent sins. So you're not responsible. Pesach is a zman when you do tshuva me'ahava. And when you do tshuva me'ahava, your zedoinois are nasois kizuchuyois as merits. So in Rosh Hashanah, the chatoim are shkogos, but it's still shkogah. it's still an accidental sin, inadvertent sin, so you put it aside. But those shkogois through the year, through the avoida of Pesach, become zechuyos, become merits. So now we take them out on Pesach and we eat it and now it's a different madrega. So it's the same nuts. It's the same nuts you're not going to eat. The gamar, let's go. He writes over here. Don't eat bangs and gatanim. All different types. Those goes and lose them. Bangs and gatanim. Mekiy eggs. Mekachri chayv. The gamar mekiy chvenia. Havalim matfila. Mitam zein lechol poil. Mekidnias don beans. Hamar mekiy chvenia. Bereshashan bein lizma. Lebiyam ki bereshashan. Esrach shesik biyosel lechavin mash oimer ashlech tibar. Umikol shekain beis tekiyah shayfish al yidezer kituch begoroin lechaytzi kiy chvenia. Mevatlim hashemim. It's going to mevatlim. Okay, we'll stop over here. We'll take a short break and then we'll continue. Mm-hmm. Mr. Yonim.